Dan Riccio, Randy Janna now joining us, Sportsnet's Sam Cosentino. How's it going, Sammy?
Yeah, doing great, guys. Great to be on.
Yeah, so Kapo Kakko not going to the combine.
Yeah.
Big deal or not so much?
You always want to see the guys here, but I think everyone's pretty certain what's gonna happen with him. But that, again, shouldn't be a hall pass to take the time off either. So the way I look at it is, a pretty unique experience in winning the Worlds and with what's gone on there. I'm okay with it. I've seen guys who've come out of the Memorial Cup, and it's the same thing. The Memorial Cup ends on Sunday. The Combine starts Monday, and guys don't show up because they were, just involved in the long process of what the Cup had to offer, plus a long season. So, again, at the end of the day, I have mixed emotions about it. I understand where he's coming from. You always want to see the top guys here. I think that's important. Because the one thing you have to think about, too, it's not always like a guy is with one team his whole life either. So teams want to get to know these players because, hey, maybe it comes up in trade or free agency down the road or whatever else. And you have that good basis and knowledge of the player outside from what you see on the ice. So I'm disappointed personally because I wanted a chance to sit down and hunker down and meet him and get to talk to him and get to know him a little bit. And that opportunity won't be afforded now.
What do teams learn about guys at the Combine, and how much does it factor into their big boards come draft day?
You learn mostly about, so the physical stuff, I mean, each team has a way in which they take that, all the physical testing and break it down. But for me, the part of it is really getting to know the player. Now, scouts all year are doing background. They're doing background. But the culmination of four or five different people doing background information and with multiple looks gets into that meeting process. And now you can hunker down on some things, pinpoint a point in a game, pinpoint a rumor that you might have heard about a kid. Hey, I talked to the billet mom. This is what's happening. And so you can get the whole picture of the player. And that's what the Combine is really all about. It's about completing the picture. Half the picture, or more than half the picture, I guess, would be with what you've seen on ice with all your scouts all year. And completing the picture is being able to figure what that person is going to be like character-wise, personality-wise, how he'd fit into your program.
Sam, are scouts and GMs really targeting, especially for kids this young, is it more of like mental maturity of where they're at and how hard they work? Are they really trying to get to that and figure this out about the kids at this point at the Combine?
No, it's kind of all-encompassing, to be perfectly honest with you. I think it's a little bit of everything. You're hoping that all the good things you've seen on ice match with the personality. So that's the great hope. We look at this great player, and I'll use Peyton Krebs as a perfect example, a guy who plays in Kootenay now, Winnipeg, and not a great situation with that team. And now you get a chance to see him playing under 18. You're like, hey, how did you go about and handle all the adversity that you were faced with this year? And now you can sit down and hunker down and really get to know what it's all about. So again, how many times have you ever gone into a room in a social setting and you meet someone for the first time and you shake their hand and probably within 5 minutes you understand what that person is all about or have a pretty good idea? He's got a limp handshake. He's not looking in the eye. The posture's bad, whatever else. All that same stuff rings true here. It rings true here at the Combine.
Well, we've talked a lot about Jack Hughes and Kapo Kakko, of course, because of their play at the World Championships. One player that I wanted to zero in on was Moritz Seider, who played for Germany, young defenseman. What did you see at the World Championships for him? And you've heard the kind of the rumblings. He could probably go top 15. Do you see him? What's the difference between him and like a Victor Soderstrom, and who do you rate higher for what reason?
Yeah, and that's a great question. So the mock draft will come out here in June, but in terms of where the last ranking was, I think I had Soderstrom ahead and Seider a little bit down the list. So he's a fascinating guy because playing in Germany is almost like playing in the U.S. program because of the schedule is a little bit lighter in terms of games and practices. They put a great focus in Mannheim on what the guys are doing off ice. So you have that opportunity to develop your strength and work on your conditioning away from the rink. And that's a real good benefit of the program in Mannheim. Because it's such a rich program, they've got great resources to be able to provide them to do that. But what's cool about this guy is he plays with men. He has to play a little bit more of a reserved game. He's a skater. He's got some size. There's a bit of bite to him.
And then he goes back with his own age group and was a big piece of helping them get Germany promoted back up into the top division in the World Juniors. He goes there, he wears a C. Now he's putting up point per game numbers. Even though it's a small sample size, you get a really good idea that this guy has the ability to adjust his game depending on the responsibilities placed on him. And then, of course, he goes to the Worlds. He performs well there, doing a blend of both, being the size guy, the skating guy, and still putting up a couple points. And now you're saying to yourself, wow, this has really come full circle for his whole year. So he's going to be a fascinating guy for me to watch because, you know, as you talked about him being a guy who started to make a prominent rise, I'm interested in that as well. And we'll hunker down here with the rest of my time in Buffalo to see if we can, you know, kind of place him and what people are really thinking about.
How about the Memorial Cup? Was there did any player really stand out there, a draft eligible for you at the Memorial Cup?
Well, you know what, Reach? I look at Brett Leeson, and I think he struggled with the Prince Albert Raiders, and I think it was a lot of things that went into that, and it was disappointing for me to see that because I know that was a huge tournament for him. There were a ton of scouts there. Having said that, if you looked at every one of Prince Albert's games, I would say he was involved in at least three or four chances in each one of those games. Just the execution wasn't quite there like we saw in the regular season. So I'm still a huge fan of his. I still think there's really good potential with this young man. I like him a lot. Rafael Lavoie is the other guy. Playing with more bite, more consistency to his game, some passion and some energy that wasn't necessarily seen on a consistent basis throughout the course of the season. So it was nice to watch him play with that kind of metal, if you will. And then I'll look at a couple of other guys who impressed me, particularly with Ruan Miranda. Justin Bergeron is a September 14th, 2000 born player. So he was eligible for the draft last year, but essentially the youngest guy in the draft. He's a puck-moving defenseman with good skating ability, at 16 regular season goals, 8 more in the playoffs with Ruan. And he's a guy that you mentioned his name and scouts put their finger up to the mouth and they're saying, shh, like, you know, he's a secret type of thing. And then the other guy would be Alex Bocage. He's a big, raw right winger. 3 years ago was just playing double-A hockey. One of those typical Ruan Miranda guys where he got his opportunity and really ran with it this year. 39 goals in the regular season. Right shot, and I think down the road he's going to have the ability to play a power forward role, but he's still raw. So both Bergeron and Bocage are guys who I think that might surprise some people once we get to the second day of the draft.
You're listening to Reach Deep. We're joined by Sam Cosentino, Sportsnet Prospects Analyst. And you mentioned a couple of overagers there, Brett Leeson, of course, and Bergeron. Is there another overager or two that you're kind of keeping a close eye on that you think maybe later on in the draft could be a very good pick for some team?
Well, you know, it is interesting because the way I would see it and the way some teams are starting to move in the way of the second and third year draft eligibles, because there's a little bit more of a known quantity to that particular player. So rather than maybe take a chance and try and hit a home run with what might be happening with your first year draft eligible guys, you take that step back, you go with some of the more known commodities and you say, hey, you know what? This is a situation where I might be able to find someone who 3, 4, 5 years down the road is going to help us as opposed to taking a chance on that younger guy. So in terms of some of those older players, again, I point to Ruan Miranda, Rafael Harvey-Pinard, their captain, just a small guy, went to camp with Vegas last year, but it's a tireless work ethic. And Felix Bebo was probably the most fascinating guy that I was able to meet at the Memorial Cup, a centerman who's really in tune with the game. He's a big fan of the game. He plays with his heart on his sleeve. So again, two other guys that I'd point out there as maybe having some potential in their second or third year of draft eligibility.
Not necessarily draft eligible. He's already drafted by the New York Islanders, 12th overall last year, Noah Dobson. I know you had him high up on your board last year, and it was interesting to see him fall, especially after the way he closed the year with Acadie Bathurst, and now he wins another Memorial Cup here with Ruan Miranda. I mean, do you think the Islanders got a bit of a value now that we look back at it?
No question. Absolute steal. I still believe he's going to be the best defenseman to come out of that draft last year. A record 14 defensemen were taken, and a lot of good ones, don't get me wrong, but I still have that belief in Noah Dobson as being the best to come out of that class. I think when he adds 20 pounds, when he actually has an opportunity to spend one full summer where he can work out, that's when you're going to see it. So there is a pretty good chance that he'll play with the Islanders next year and play the full complement of games. But I don't think you're going to truly see what he's able to bring to the table until 2 years from now, when he gets a taste of what it's like in the NHL, realizes what he has to work on, goes back and works on those things. And I'd say in 2 years, you're going to see a player who's going to have a very significant impact for the Islanders.
Sam, moving back to this year's draft, of course, you know, the Vancouver Canucks, we've been speculating of where they could go forward or they could go defenseman. And I just wanted to kind of get your thoughts on Ville Heinola, Finnish defenseman, left shot defenseman. He's another name that's kind of in that second tier. Comparing him to other guys in that second tier, where does he rank up to you? And does he have a high ceiling compared to those other guys?
I think he's a safer guy. I think his two-way game is what makes people attracted to Ville Heinola. He thinks the game extremely well. He's not overly dynamic offensively, and I don't know if he ever will be. But I like the fact that he's got a great two-way game. And I know a lot of people are really high on him because he's such a good skater. You know, unfortunately, didn't get to see all of them at the World Juniors when he got hurt. And I think, two or three of Finland's games still remaining. But watching him in league play, he performed well there. And when it comes to that second tier, if you're talking about Soderstrom or Broberg or Thomas Harley, I think he fits right in the middle of that class. And again, a lot like Moritz Seider, you're seeing some of the D that are, whose names are starting to pop here a little bit and maybe end up moving up a little bit higher than even where I had them ranked in my May rankings.
You listen to Reach Deeper, joined by Sam Cosentino, Sportsnet Prospects Analyst. And Sam, the Vancouver Canucks are, there's a lot of speculation in the city, as I'm sure you're aware of, when it comes to the draft. And you know, if you're going to trade out of the draft next year, how does that draft compare to this year? Well, I want to ask you, how is 2019 different from the 2020 draft? Which draft is deeper?
That's a great question. I love the 2020 class. I mean, Lindell from Finland, Holtz and Raymond from Sweden, Perfetti, Byfield, Cooley from the Ontario Hockey League. I love this class. I think really, really highly of what we're going to see from the 2020 group. I think it's still a little bit early to put a label on it, but I would say as good or better in my very early prognostication of the 2020.
Sam, you got your Raptors jersey on yet or what? You joining the party?
I got to go talk to Drake, see what he's got for us.
We're going to see you courtside with him again or what?
Yeah, thinking about it. I don't know if I don't think that's likely to happen, but if it did, I'll be sure to give you guys a shout out.
All right. Sounds good, Sammy. Appreciate it, man. We'll talk soon. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Take care.
Sportsnet 650.